Some people say your music played a role in this. Like I've seen them, you know, cite lyrics, you know, that encourage this kind of behavior. I've seen them say your music is demonic and this was a satanic ritual. You think your music is to blame?
I mean, no. One, I'm a man of God.
And I even said that, you know, they say your music is satanic. I saw the face that you made. What do you think that even comes from? Travis Scott is satanic. Travis Scott is
demonic. I just think it's just things people collect. You know, people look at the internet and they just collect and they look at things and they look at visuals. And, you know, you have all these theorists and people just thinking they're looking at visuals and don't understand, you know, just the idea of like what art may be or what you're trying to do. You know, they're just making up your own message.
What's up, everybody? My name is Isaac Weishaupt. You're listening to the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture podcast. Today, we're talking about Astroworld and Travis Scott, part four, right? If you're keeping track. Part one, two, and three, we covered the symbolism of Travis Scott, all of the satanic imagery that he gave us at the Astroworld concert. I went through the entire concert. I watched the whole thing on YouTube. The Travis Scott portion, of course. We went through the symbolism of Travis Scott as an artist since his, you know, rise to popularity. I had written a whole article about it back in 2015 on the website, which I had to take down when I got sued. Because, you know, there's a battle for the official narrative. And now, I can't believe it. I'm appalled by what I had to watch tonight. Okay? You know, I've been busy. I actually was planning on doing this part four after I watched his Netflix show. He has a Netflix documentary called Look, Mom, I Can Fly. And I got notes, and we're going to cover that. I'm going to play a lot of clips for you so you don't even have to listen to me. Don't even take my opinion, because that's all my shows are. It's my opinion, and then I insert the facts to support my opinion. Sort of like a court trial of Illuminati satanic symbolism. I'm going to play you directly what this guy was saying back when they made this documentary. And then we're going to talk about this crazy interview Charlamagne the God, who I don't know if people know who he is. He's on The Breakfast Club. It's like a morning radio show. He's been around a long time, right? Actually, you know, sometimes I like Charlamagne. He interviews Travis Scott in Travis's first interview since the incident, the tragedy. And I can't believe I never heard so much ducking and dodging my whole damn life. I mean, you would think this guy is trying to run for office. And we're going to talk about it. I'm going to play you clips, and you're going to listen to the clips I play from the Netflix documentary that was released a couple years ago. And then I'm going to play clips from what Homeboy's saying in the Charlamagne the God interview. And you're going to say, Isaac, this guy's being very disingenuous. He's got two different versions of himself that he's trying to float. And I don't blame them, right? They're trying to cancel his ass. They might. Do I think he should be canceled? No, I'm anti-cancel culture. I don't think it matters. They're not going to cancel him. And the thing is like, I like some of Travis Scott's music. I'm not a huge fan. I never really got it. I didn't really ever understand why people loved him so much. But hey, you know, it's a generational thing. Not my cup of tea, but you know what? I like a fair amount of his songs. So let's cover some news since part three, since I talked to you last about this. The body count is now at 10. And in case you don't know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. There was on November 5th, 2021 at the Astroworld Festival, a music event started and ran by Travis Scott in Houston, Texas. It's still under investigation, but 10 people have now died, 25 people hospitalized, 300 people treated for injuries, and there's been a ton of clips on TikTok and all this stuff. including my shows where I talk about how this guy was employing satanic symbolism, and this tragedy happened, connecting the two, right? Because as you know, I've written a book about hip-hop conspiracies back in 14, 15, 16, whatever it was, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. And a lot of these ideas I was talking about in that book. And lo and behold, here comes Travis Scott at the Astroworld showing us all the satanic symbolism. You gotta, and check out my Instagram if you haven't, because I've got all the images loaded up there. This guy had a shirt with a person turning into a demon. He had a dove on fire flying out of the mountain. I mean, it's crazy. But I wasn't shocked because he's been doing this for a long time, and I've been talking about it for a long time. So you know, you mess with the bull, you get the horns. Same thing with Satan. You mess with Satan, you get the horns. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying Travis Scott's a bad guy that wanted people to die. He probably didn't. I would assume he didn't want his fans to die. Obviously, this is not good press. Obviously, this is very, you know, at the worst possible version of Travis Scott. This is very difficult for him to get past. I can't imagine he was like, you know what? I really wanted to sacrifice people to Satan. Let's do this. But I do think you can be influenced by dark forces. You can draw down dark energies. And there could have very well been demonic forces there that night. Do you believe in possession? I believe in possession. I think there were dumb kids and they were trampling on each other and they were possessed by the demons or whatever. I mean, I don't know. How would I know? They were possessed by the demons. Then I helped these people out that were getting trampled. But when you create a theater of ritualistic satanic symbolism and charge up this energy, this is what happens. That's all I'm saying. Now, yeah, so that's the update. Our 10th person died, who I believe was the youngest one. Let me get my facts for you here. Well, let's see. I don't have it on me. I want to say the youngest person to die was 9 years old. Is that right? Oh, boy. Let me look it up for you. Sorry, I don't want to stall too much here. A 9-year-old boy was the youngest person to die from injuries sustained. 9 years old? What are you doing taking a 9-year-old to the concert? But I'm not blaming the victim, right? I'm not saying, but I am saying, like, I wouldn't take a 9-year-old to a concert. Especially not when you know what Travis Scott's about, which we're going to get into here. Something else, some other events we got to knock out of the way before we get into this. There's a magazine called W, and they there was a leak. I don't know how much of this is just publicity stunt. There was a leaked image of how Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott were on the cover of this new W magazine, and W magazine's like, oh, we didn't want it to be released. We're trying to stop it from going out. And I don't know if I believe that, but whatever. Supposedly they were, I guess, what, it takes them a month to stop the presses from releasing it? I mean, they knew about this incident a month ago. But anyway, on the cover, Kylie Jenner's wearing a yellow bird outfit. I mean, it's got fringe on it, right? It looks kind of like a bird. And in a lot of Travis Scott's videos, we see alchemical symbolism of alchemy. And in alchemy, all about progressing the initiate, they use the language of the birds, and the birds represent the different stages of alchemy with black, white, yellow, and red. Red, of course, being the phoenix. So she's wearing the yellow bird, and Travis Scott's doing this weird thing with his hand. I don't even know. It's hard. You'd have to see it. But it was a really bizarre magazine cover, and it was really bizarre that W Magazine was freaking out trying to stop this thing from getting released. Like, bro, like, it's been a month. Like, you didn't put the stop issue in the next day? That's why I have a hard time believing anything I hear from entertainment. Everything's publicity. And then rapper Playboi Carti he's pushing even more satanic symbolism. So the Satanism thing ain't going away. And all the mainstream media sources are like, oh, satanic conspiracy theories from Travis Scott. Because, you know, there's all these corporate interests involved in Travis Scott. He's got, like, cereals and shoes. And, I mean, the dude's a cash cow. Of course they don't want him canceled. They'll cancel other people, but don't cancel the guy that promotes riot, incites riots, and people died at his concert. Don't cancel him. I'll never understand it. But Playboi Carti, he had a video, and I shared it on my Instagram. I hope you're following over there, at Isaac Weishaupt, link in the show notes. He played a video clip of a guy at his concert being possessed. This guy's acting like he's possessed. And then Playboi Carti also posted on his Instagram some imagery of him inside of a pentagram, which is very similar to what A$AP Rocky did many years ago. I believe it was I could be wrong on this. I'm not a huge A$AP Rocky fan. I believe the video is called What's Up, and it shows him in like an Enochian magical circle pentagram. So the satanic thing ain't going away. Lil Uzi Vert's very satanic. I mean, it's in his name, Lucifer. But listen to this. I found this article on New York Post, published November 10th. I'm going to read to you from it, because this supports the whole first half of the show. Let's go. Years before 8 died at his Astroworld festival, Travis Scott would brag on social media about fans getting hurt and passing out at his shows, even suggesting one would be a hero if he didn't survive a New York gig. The 30-year-old sicko mode star under fire for playing on at a Friday's Houston festival as 8 died and hundreds were injured, still has disturbing images on his social media celebrating previous scares. One of the most disturbing posts shows a young man seemingly unconscious at Scott's sold-out 2015 show at Manhattan's Webster Hall. To the kid that didn't survive the rodeo, you're a hero in my book, Scott captioned the photo that is still on his page. Okay. And I'm going to try to keep my opinion separated from most of the show, so you can just hear the facts and do with it what you want. Now, and previously we talked about the idea of blood sacrifice as a ritual, as a devotion of energy to the gods. Again, no clue. Is that what Travis Scott's doing? That seems pretty far-fetched, right? But if you read this book by Richard Cavendish, The Black Arts, there's a chapter that talks about Rajneesh and the Tantra cults being into death and darkness. And if you get into Peter Lavenda, he'll talk about how the tantric sex, S-E-C-T-S, keep your mind out of the gutter, how the tantric sex tie into a lot of satanic worship on some levels. It's very strange. But the idea in that chapter about Rajneesh and the tantric cults being all about death and darkness ties into Hinduism, with the god of death and dissolution known as Shiva, who is a god of tantraism. And this is like CERN, right? Out at CERN, they've got a statue of Shiva out front, the destroyer. And that's exactly what the astral world mountain looked like, was the portal in the center there to CERN. There were also reports of weird frequencies. People are talking about how they heard all these weird sounds before the show. Again, I don't know. I wasn't there. But the videos sure seem weird. But now I want to get into the meat and potatoes of this argument. Let's look at Netflix's Look Mom, I Can Fly. It's a whole documentary about Travis Scott, his album release, Astroworld, his life, all that stuff, right? And at the beginning of the documentary, you see, and I'll put this photo on the Instagram for you to check out, at Isaac Watts Up, like and subscribe, look at the show as always. There's a bee on his neck. He's got a tattoo of a big bee on his neck. Now, why does that matter? And I don't know why he got it, what his reason for it is, but I do know the bee is symbolic for magic, ritual magic, right? We talked about this before with Beyonce, We always pick on Beyonce too, you know. But you can see he's got a tattoo of a bee right there on his neck. Ironically, next to a cross too. And the reason why we could argue that he's got this tattoo of the cross, why would he do that? The same reason Ozzy Osbourne and all these satanic rocker types, they wear crosses. Because they're employing dark energies, and they need to protect themselves from the dark energies. They know what they're doing. They need the protection. That's the idea. Now, and like I said, I'm going to play a lot of clips for you today. When the show starts, it's so eerie. I'm shocked Netflix still has this up, to be honest. Shocked. I'm literally shocked they haven't taken this down. But the beginning of the documentary almost seems like a replay of the Astral World tragedy. Take a listen. You'll hear there's people talking about how they're not going to survive. Ironically, you will hear him stop the show to try to help people. So, take that for what it's worth. But Travis Scott definitely is embracing how dangerous his shows are. That's definitely happening here.
I'm not done with these niggas, man. I'm not done with these niggas. Watch out. I'm trying to feel the love. Watch out. Open up, man. Goddamn. I don't want to see nobody near me. Everybody back up. Open up. Open up. Open up. Open up. Open this shit up. Where the fuck my rage is at? Y'all niggas get in control, man. Back these niggas up, man.
Travis motherfucking Scott, the greatest live performer on this fucking planet. Don't get it fucking anybody out.
I got a problem with a plane, got a problem with me.
Travis Scott is the best.
I'm fucking up anybody that says something bad about him. Bigger kill, nigga. Full of flame, nigga.
This is what happens during Travis Scott game.
Then in another clip, you'll hear the security talk about people suffocating, which is, again, something that happened at this Astral World incident, which when we get into the interview with from Charlemagne the God to Travis Scott, Travis Scott's going to act like, I don't know. How could this have happened? We got to figure it out. And it's like, bro, it done been happening, bro. What are you talking about? But yeah, take a listen.
Kids, they push up against the front and spread all the way across that and fill in the whole front floor. So the pressure becomes very great up against the barricade. You will see a lot of crowd surfers in general, but also you see a lot of kids that are just trying to get out and get to safety because they can't breathe because it's so compact. You won't know how bad it could be with our crowd until we turn off.
Like I said, this is from 2019, okay? All these things eerily have happened and come true in 2021. There was another, they play a lot of concert footage on this documentary, and listen to these kids. They talk about how he's like, I thought I was going to die. And then again, ironically, I'm leaving as much of this in as I can. Ironically, you hear how some of the fans say, yeah, it's great. You know, if you get knocked down, people help you up. So again, like there is this sort of way, there's a sort of a defense of Travis Scott in this as well, but there's also this acknowledgement that he must have known there was some danger involved in these concerts.
Can't describe how y'all niggas feel. Shit, I'm half dead.
I survived.
It's all good.
The best fucking concert I've ever been in my whole life.
He changes your heart, makes people love, like, so many loves you out there.
It's mental.
I thought I'm gonna die and you're literally dead.
Every time I listen to his music, like, I'll probably never forget that tune.
Hey, when I'm in my squad, I cannot do no wrong!
You can fall and, like, everyone will pick you up. It's weird how, like, one person's music can, like, turn everyone into such a family.
You wish you were here.
I cried three times.
Thank you for that.
Now, here's another good one. The cops, they arrest Travis Scott for inciting a riot at his show, which I talked about this on one of the three Astroworld incidents, about how he has this history of causing problems like this. And again, there's this sort of dual thing going on. On one hand, I'm saying, look, Travis Scott knows how dangerous his shows are. But on the other hand, I'm going to show you the evidence to defend Travis Scott, because he does, in fact, say that he felt bad that kids got hurt in the show. And then you'll hear lawyers, it's kind of hard to hear, but you'll hear a lawyer talking about sort of excusing Travis Scott's behavior. Like, oh, you know, First Amendment, you didn't do anything wrong. And you can see how you get the wrong people in your tribe, in your camp, and no one's checking you. Things can go wrong because you think, you know, I'm not doing anything wrong. What could go wrong? What could happen?
Surely it's absurd. I mean, I'm trying to tell you where I'm coming from. We think if this went to court, we don't even think there's a crime committed.
That is crazy.
It is crazy. During the show, you have the First Amendment to protect you, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, you didn't say anything. And if there were, and there wasn't even a riot, but if there was one, you didn't decide.
Then later on in the documentary, there's more kids passing out of the show. I mean, there's video footage of it. How are they going to know? They're never going to know. Kids are getting jacked up. And to be fair, they did show several clips of Travis Scott trying to help people out. So who knows what to think, right? But one thing I do know is that Travis Scott, he knows that there's danger at the concerts, right? He knows this. And he checks in with the crowd to see how they're doing. And he did this at the Astroworld concert, to be fair. He did do that. He kind of was like, hey, put your hands up if everything's cool. Okay, cool. So, like, again, very difficult to sort of make this judgment critique of what exactly should or shouldn't have been known or happened here.
Somebody from safety, help Abner, help these people, man. Y'all open up, let these people through. Everybody in the front, open up, open up, open up. Everybody in the front, open up, there we go. Help them out, help them out, help them out. Help them out, help them out. Yo, can we get paramedics in there, please? What the fuck? I got it. There's one more right here. There's one more right here. In the middle, we good? Thumbs up if we good. Any thumbs up if we good? Any thumbs up if we good? If we good, let me get a hell yeah! Say hell yeah!
Just a fun fact. The beginning of... Oh, dear. That song where the girl says, it's the last ride I'm going to take on Astroworld. They actually play that video clip on this documentary. Because they apparently, I didn't know this, but they shut down Astroworld from, that was out of Six Flags in 2005. That's where this all came from. I didn't know that, from Houston. But yeah, just something interesting that was in there, just to not just pick on Travis Scott the whole time. There's actually scenes of kids breaking down barricades, just like what happened in 2021. He gets gifted a Astroworld Day by the mayor of Houston, November 18th. Because Travis Scott's whole thing is like, I'm doing Astroworld for the city, I'm doing it for the people of Houston. Now, and the tickets are like $400, so I don't know. But I don't know what it costs to run an amusement park, so hey. Maybe he's doing it for the people, I don't know. People seem to enjoy it, though, and I have seen clips of Travis Scott, being friendly with the people of Houston, and I actually had a person on my Patreon, I think it was, And she was saying, like, yeah, I could be getting this wrong, but, like, she either met Travis Scott or she was working at a place where he came in and he was, like, super cool. So, I don't know. It's not all an entire damnation of Travis Scott today, but mostly. Okay. There's a video clip of him as a child on Power Wheels. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, and I picked on Travis Scott for going to, like, a private school in the past, right? And I'm like, because I argue that he had nerd anger. That's my argument, is he had nerd anger and it manifested in a bad way. And here we see him messing around. I don't know how old he is, 5, 6, on Power Wheels. And I grew up in the 80s and 90s. And the only people I knew that had a Power Wheels were really wealthy kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, it was a different culture back then. Nowadays, like, parents buy their kids anything and everything. Like, I don't know if it's that abnormal now, but back then, like, I knew one kid that had a Power Wheels, and he was, like, the rich kid that went to private school, ironically. I just found that odd. I just wanted to complain for a second about how everyone has so much but me. No, I'm just kidding. Then there's also, and I'm going to put this image on the Instagram. He's got a jacket with the Tin Man on the back. It's a Wizard of Oz jacket. Maybe this is a fashion thing. I'm not into fashion. He's wearing a jacket that says Oz on the front, which Aleister Crowley wrote Liber Oz, right? And then there's like Oz, the magic powerhouse, tying you into Bobby Beausoleil and Kenneth Anger and real Satanist stuff back then. But I don't know that that's connected here. But I do find it odd that on the back of the jacket was the Tin Man. And the Tin Man was known for not having a heart, which, keep that in your back pocket for just a minute, because we're going to get into the Charlemagne interview, which is, it blows my mind. And finally, there was a scene where he reacts to losing a Grammy nomination for Sicko Mode. And apparently there was a tie between King Dead and some Anderson .Paak song. And I agree with Travis Scott. I was like, what? No one's listening to Anderson .Paak. But whatever, you know. And what's interesting is there's a scene, and I'm not going to play this, but like there's a scene where he meets with the mayor. And the mayor's like, look, Travis, you got to show the kids that even if you lose the nomination, like, you're still going to keep working hard and, you know, trying to be a positive role model. But you see how this works, how the world of entertainment and politics blend real easy. They know the power that each other has to create culture and create society and change the world. And that's kind of one of the ideas I've been talking about for years on my show and in my books, is how important pop culture and entertainment is. It's the most influential thing there is. So we really got to make sure we understand what they're feeding to us, because it changes us, right? Okay, let's get into the Charlemagne the God interview. Oh, dear. This is just an S show gone bad, right? An S-H-I-T show gone bad. I try not to swear for my people. I know some of you don't like the swearing, so I try not to, but I want to. Just have it be known. Now I'm gonna play clips here, and it bugs me because the whole time Travis Scott, and if you watch the whole thing, he repeats himself a million times, and you're like, bro, what are you doing? You know, he's just, oh, we just got to figure out what it was. And Charlemagne actually did a good job. He asked a lot of the right questions. And for instance, he asks if raging is the problem. And then he's just like, Travis Scott's like, oh, it's not about, you know, it's not about harming. It's not about harming. It's not about being rambunctious. And it's like, Travis, come on, buddy. If I didn't watch all these other documentaries and video clips and concert footages, like when you beat the kid up who touched your shoe or whatever. And look, to be fair, like sometimes an artist can have a bad day, I guess, right? Anyways, take a listen to the clip. See what you think.
And I think we really just got to figure out, you know, what that was, you know?
Does raging make it harder to identify when something is going wrong in the crowd?
Well, I think, you know, raging is just a, you know, they have a textbook, you know, definition, but, you know, in concerts, we've grown it to be just the experience of having fun. It's not about just, oh, harm. Mm-hmm. It's not about that. It's about just letting go and having fun, you know, help others, you know, love each other. It's not about just, you know, harm. Mm-hmm. That's not what it's all about. The show isn't just rambunctious for an hour. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not what it is. You know?
Oh, trust me, I grew up on crunk. So, you know, I understand, you know, you don't want it to get too out of hand.
Yeah, but you know, the energy is high, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, that's why you want to just make sure that, you know, people are surrounded to make sure that people are just having the best experience, you know.
Now, Charlamagne, throughout the whole interview, keeps kind of asking him, like, look, do you feel responsibility for this? And here's probably the first time he really does it. And he's like, how much do you feel a sense of responsibility? And Travis is like, typical, like, this is such a dodgy answer, like political answer. Travis, do you feel a sense of responsibility? Well, you know, fans, what they do is they come to a show and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, you know, my responsibility is to figure out what happened. I'm going to figure out where the professionals got it wrong. And then they even talk about Live Nation, and yeah, take a listen.
It just, you know, being there kicking it with you for a little bit, like I can see that, you know, this is weighing real heavy on you.
Yeah.
So how much do you feel a sense of responsibility for what happened that night?
Well, you know, fans come to the show and have a good experience, you know, and I have a responsibility to figure out what happened here. I have a responsibility to figure out the solution. And, you know, and I gotta, and hopefully this takes a first step into, you know, us as artists, you know, having that more insight of what's going on. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, the professionals to kind of, you know, surround and figure out more of an intel, whether it's tech, whether it's, you know, more of a response, whether it's whatever the problem is, you know, to figure out that in the future and moving forward in concert safety, mm-hmm. make sure it just never happened again, you know?
Well, let's talk about those professionals. Like how much responsibility do you think like Live Nation and Scoremore, the promoters, have in all of this?
I mean, you know, they do their job of, you know, setting these things up. So, I mean, I think, you know, they when we dial into what, you know, specifically happened here, I feel like, you know, even they can kind of help, you know, figure out what happened in a sense. Mm-hmm. You know, but at the end of the day, I think collectively, everyone needs to just figure out the bottom line solution. But, you know, especially in concert safety, you know, definitely got to have, you know, make sure that, you know, these things are, you know, done right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like Charlamagne's like, so is it Live Nation's responsibility? What's going on here? And he's like, and he starts doing his, well, you know, at the end of the day, and he says this no less than 3 or 4 times this whole hour, it's like a 50-minute interview. And anytime you hear someone that constantly repeats, you know, at the end of the day, because I don't want to dig too deep into personal, but I knew a person who did this all the time, and this person didn't know their ass from a hole in the ground, okay? And, like, I knew it, but I wasn't in a position to call the person out, but I should have. But anytime you hear someone that constantly is always like, you know what, if you're in a meeting where, oh, you know what, at the end of the day, to me, this is my opinion, that's someone who doesn't know what they're doing. They just don't know. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're saying. They're trying to oversimplify something without really understanding it or digging into it. They've never researched it. When you hear someone that keeps saying at the end of the day, that's what that means. They're trying to oversimplify a complex situation because they haven't looked at it. They don't know what they're talking about. And this is the best part, right? He says how, you know, I only heard about people dying at the press conference, right? Well, when was that? It was apparently after the show, but I can't get the exact times to really condemn what happened here. I've seen it say at 2 a.m. was the press conference. But do you remember how he went to Dave and Buster's. Remember how him and Drake went to Dave and Buster's after the concert? And a lot of people, myself included, were like, that's a little bit in poor taste. Listen to this. According to this is from an ABC 13 article. According to sources, Scott was unaware there were fatalities and injuries at his concert. As soon as he was made aware of the fatalities, he left the party. The exact timing of Scott leaving was unclear, but ABC 13 was told it was sometime early Saturday morning. So there it's saying he heard about the fatalities at Dave and Buster's at the party. Travis Scott says, no, I only heard about it at the press conference, right before the press conference. So I don't know. It doesn't really add up, does it? And I could be wrong. I couldn't confirm the timing of exactly when these things happened. I'm not a detective. So, you know, look into that before you repeat it. But, like, from what I could tell, like, no, there's two different stories here. But, you know, maybe the ABC 13 got it wrong. Who knows? But here's where things get even worse for Travis. He messes up. He says that they told him on the headset, I guess, that after the guest comes on stage, the show is going to end. Right? That's what he claims. And here's where I'll have you listen to the clip and we'll come back.
Reportedly agreed to end the concert early after the Houston PD and the fire department declared it a mass casualty event, but the concert continued for another 40 minutes. Was there ever any communication to you on stage that you should end this?
Well, yeah. I mean, they just told me right after, you know, the guests get off stage, you know, we're going to end the show. You know, and that's what we did. You know, other than that, there was no other communication. You know?
Oh, so after, you mean after the guests? What you mean?
Yeah, after the guest comes out,
okay,
we're gonna end the show. But it wasn't a communication on why, you know, it was just, you know, that's what came through my ears, you know.
Oh, so they didn't say stop now.
No.
Wow.
So he says, look, I didn't know anything was wrong. I just know that they said to me, after the guest shows up on stage, that's when the show's now gonna end. We're gonna end it. Okay. So a lot of questions here. If I'm the performer and I got my whole set list and I'm like, why? No, we're not ending. What do you mean we're ending it? You're not concerned about that? You don't ask the question? Even after the show, backstage, you don't get off the stage and say, yo, why'd you cut it? Why'd you cut the show early? No questions. Okay. That doesn't make any sense. Another thing that doesn't make sense is, why he says the guest? That's Drake. Drake's the only one he brought out on stage. All right? To do sicko mode. But you notice he couldn't say the name because Drake's even more powerful than Travis Scott. It could be that they're trying to protect Drake for all of this because, like I said, I think Drake's going to go down as the king of pop. You know, love him or hate him, the dude's been cranking out hits for a long time. I bet there's some kind of legality thing there that he can't say the name Drake. I don't know. I just found it super weird. And it's weird that Charlamagne didn't say, guest, you mean Drake? He didn't say it, though. But what's even better than all of this is that if you watch the concert, as I did and explained to you in, I believe it was episode 3, I went through the whole concert with you. After the guest, Drake, performed and got off stage, Travis Scott kept going. He didn't stop the show as he claims that he was supposed to do. Goosebumps was the last song, and he performed that solo. And if you recall, I even defended Travis Scott because the video footage of Kylie Jenner leaving, you can hear Goosebumps playing because a lot of people were like, oh, Kylie Jenner, they escorted her out when they saw people dying. And like, no, the footage even shows you she was escorted out during Goosebumps, which was the last song of the set. Nothing adds up, though. He said he was supposed to stop the show after Drake, and he kept going. Who knows? Another classic cringy moment. Charlamagne's like, what would you say to the family? If you could talk to the family right now, what would you say to them? You would think he would say, I'm sorry. I apologize that this happened. I'm sorry this happened. He's like, you know, I would just say, like, I'm always here. Okay.
know that the families of the people who passed are definitely watching this right now. And you know, there's nothing you could say to heal the trauma these families who lost loved ones are going through. But being that you know they're watching, what would you say to them directly?
I'll say to them that I'm always here, and that, you know, I'm in this with you guys, and I love you, you know, and I'll always, you know, be there to help you guys heal through this. And I understand that they're going through, you know, they're grieving right now and they're finding understanding right now. And, you know, it's not just like a right now thing, it's a for everything. Mm-hmm. And these people that came to the show, they are my family. And I've always had that connection to the people I feel like that listen to the music or came to my shows. And that's why I really, you know, it's really hard on me even just, you know, to even like, you know, man, even, cause you know, they end up, they lost their loved ones, you know?
What does that mean? You're always here. Are you guys, like, are you friends? They give you their cell phone numbers? I don't know what that means, but it seemed cold-blooded. Then they keep talking, and Strongman's like, what do you think we should do to change things? How can we fix this? And Travis Scott's like, yeah, you know, we definitely got to find a way to stop this. Maybe heart rate monitors and tech, wristbands. And I'm just like, no, how about, like, you endorsed raging? And on some levels, like, I'm like, people should have the freedom to rage. If you want to be violent at a show, like, I don't know. I'm not here saying, like, oh, we should all have seats at a concert. But you got to know there's some inherent danger there, right? And the artist knows it as well. Travis Scott knew it. But then, the greatest moment in YouTube history. Charlamagne actually asks if the music was satanic. I couldn't believe it. I was aghast. I said, did he really ask him the question? And he did. So kudos to Charlamagne.
Some people say your music played a role in this. Like, I've seen them, you know, cite lyrics, you know, that encourage this kind of behavior. I've seen them say your music is demonic and this was a satanic ritual. Do you think your music is to blame?
I mean, no. I'm a man of God. So that's the first thing first. And, you know, so it's just, yeah, that's that. And, you know, your music is just like self-expression, you know what I'm saying? And at these shows, I feel like people kind of like look at things. And if you've been to a Travis show, it's been different layers of shows, you know? Mm-hmm. I think people are just, you know, misconceptions and taking things they're seeing and, you know, all type of things, you know? And I've took pride in trying to, you know, grow from where I was when I first recorded music to now where I'm going in music. So yeah, I just think people gotta, and that's one thing with me is just kind of, people gotta kind of, you know, experience it sometimes. And I think that's what it was. You know, people mm-hmm. were kind of like, even before, people were hearing about it, they come and experience it and taking away their own thing. And it's always going to be an outside opinion. But, you know, for the ones that, you know, really believe in me and, you know, understand what you know, what I'm about and what I'm doing, no, that's not what I'm, you know, preaching. I always preach like love, always preach understanding, always preach, you know, take care of your loved ones. Love each other. You know what I'm saying? Get out your ideas. Never let yourselves be stopped, you know? Love one another and step into that, you know?
I mean, I think that's a part of it, but the music does encourage people to be violent at these shows.
I mean,
that's what the rage is about.
I mean, most of the music is me sometimes talking about what I see at the shows. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If I'm talking about the shows, you know, and so it's just, that's just, you know, the energy, you know what I'm saying? But the energy isn't to come and start, you know, being ultra violent and just being violent and hurting each other. That's not what it's about.
So it's more so supposed to be entertainment.
Yeah, it's everything is, you know, mm-hmm. and it's about what you experience at the, you know, at the shows and what you see, you know?
Yeah, Charlemagne's like, was it a satanic ritual? Flat out, he asks him. He's like, well, Travis Scott, you know, you got it all wrong. I'm a man of God. But okay, that's why you got all this devil. You're wearing a shirt of a guy turning into a demon on stage while this was happening, and you had a dove on fire being ejected from the mountain. And the list goes on and on. I talked about it for 3 episodes about all his satanic symbolism. He's got a shirt where he's on fire with an inverted pentagram, all the alchemy symbolism, which isn't necessarily satanic, right? To be fair, the alchemy stuff isn't exactly equated to Satanism. And then Charlemagne asks directly about raging being at fault, this culture of raging that Travis endorses. And Travis is like, well, raging isn't about being violent. And then he even is like, you know, I'm just singing about stuff I see at the show. And I'm like, dude, this guy is not owning anything. Then Charlemagne comes back around and hits him with another question about Satanism. And this one's even better than the first one, to be honest.
And a God, and when I even said that, you know, they say your music is satanic, I saw the face that you made. What do you think that even comes from? Travis Scott is satanic. Travis Scott is
I just demonic. Think it's just things people collect, you know, people look at the internet and they just collect and they look at things and they look at visuals and, you know, you have all these theorists and people just thinking, they're looking at visuals and don't understand, you know, just the idea of like what art may be or what you're trying to do, you know, they're just making up your own message. Especially when you're not out there like yelling the message all the time. You know, it's just, yeah.
And when they say, this is a community event, Astroworld.
Yeah, it's a
so they say a community event is a satanic ritual. How does that?
Yeah, that's like feel? It's crazy because, you know, it's like I do this for people to have a good time. You know, we have rides, we have games. You know, it's things for people to get off creative experiences. It's not, you know, the show is at the end of the day. You know, it's like you know, and that show is just something based on what's, you know, just things. You know, it's not like. What? Like, why would we wake up one day and just trying to, that's just evil is not what we are part of. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to be a part of that. We're trying to be a part of joy. We're trying to be a part of light. We're trying to be a part of full-blown happiness, love, you know, understanding, people taking care of each other, you know, community, people to leave from these experiences and want to go out and do good.
Yeah, this is great because Travis Scott, he blames conspiracy theorists and the internet as the problem. Because of course it's the problem. And you know they've already got a solution. It's called censorship. Now, Travis Scott insists. He keeps saying about how, oh, the music's healing. My music is so healing. And that's the answer to all this is more healing music. And the thing that happened had absolutely nothing to do with Travis Scott or his music. Because his music is now, it's now all about healing and love. Like, this guy is just Bob Marley walking down the street, apparently, all of a sudden. Because here's my thing. He had a new album that was supposed to drop called Utopia, and it didn't drop, obviously. And I think they're sitting on this thing like, bro, we got to get this album out. You got to get right with the fans. That's what I think it is. He's like, you know what? Music's so healing. I got what's going to heal you? My new album. My new album, Utopia. Get it in stores now for all your healing purposes. Oh, dear. Then Charlemagne, this is going to be my last clip, okay? Charlemagne asks Travis Scott, like, what precautions are you going to take at the next show? And he's like, you know what? I'm just going to do what I always did. And then he puts it, like, on the fans, like it's their fault, okay? Take a listen.
Just you as an individual, when you perform again, what precautions will you take moving forward? Just you, just based off what you can personally control, what precautions would you take moving forward?
I'll do the same thing I've, you know, been doing, just double, you know, making sure everybody is on post and, you know, I'll do the, you know, double down on just making sure that everyone is locked in. Everyone is aware, everyone is on response, everybody is on, you know, on it. You know what I'm saying? And look out, try to, you know, if you felt like it wasn't there more, push for it to be more. Push the call and response more with the fans.
Like, what do you mean? Like, are you, are y'all okay?
Or, you know, or like, you know, try to have some sort of call and response with the fans while still being smooth in the performance. Because at the end of the day, it's still performance art. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's why the whole general whole idea about this is you want to make sure that it's all these factors are done before we even go into these things, you know? Mm-hmm. Because you want to just, when you go in, you want to have the mindset that, okay, people are going to be okay. We can have a good show. If anything's going down, people are going to be right there to be the first one to get to them, you know? And if there's going to be any communication, it's, you know, communication, but, you know.
Yeah, he kind of puts it on the fans, like, we're gonna need to do more call and response, and, you know, we need to listen to the fans. I'm like, bro, the fans were screaming. They were literally chanting, stop the show. They were literally talking to the cameraman, saying, people are dying. There's video footage of it all over the place. What are you talking about? And to be fair to Travis Scott, I did see cops after all the deaths happened. I saw cops filming the concert. Like, it wasn't a big deal. So, like, to be fair to Travis Scott, I'm kind of like, maybe he didn't know. But people knew. People knew. They called it a mass casualty event 40 minutes before the show ended. No one thought to say, hey, maybe we should get message over to Travis Scott. I don't know. I it's bizarre, right? He addresses how he saw, remember the, if you remember, there was an ambulance parked out where the deaths were happening. And if you watch the concert, it was there for like 40 minutes or something crazy. And he says he had no idea it was an ambulance. He's like, I just see lights, man. Like, it's lights. I don't know what it is. People going crazy. He didn't know it was an ambulance. I guess so, man. You got to take his word for it. Or do we? I don't know. And then Charlamagne asked the real question. And, of course, we get a political BS answer. But he asked him, like, how much of this is about protecting the business of Travis Scott? Because Travis Scott is a big business. There's lots of money tied in. And, you know, he gives you another, well, you know, at the end of the day answer, and dodges it entirely. And he just triples down on, like, you know, it's just all about the fans and love and giving the fans what they need. So, yeah, that's, the interview was the cringiest thing I've ever seen. In conclusion, let's wrap it all up. Even though Travis Scott has said, if you listen to my first three parts, you've heard audio clips of him saying about how he wants blood and he wants violence at his shows. Literally got arrested for inciting a riot. He's trying to lay it on everyone but himself. Trying to lay it on the fans a little bit. Trying to lay it on the organizers a little bit. Like, whoever's not him, that's who his fault it is, right? But he's always just, you know. I really want to know what happened. And look, to be fair to Travis Scott, like, this is horrible, right? I don't think he wanted it to go down like this. But he embraced some of this dark arts a little too hard and things got out of hand. That's what I think happened. But we live in a very scientific society. And that's like nonsense, right? You saw the news articles talking about how, oh, crazy talk with the satanic stuff. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's painful. It's painful to watch this thing. He's stumbling and bumbling. To defend him, I can't blame him, right? I just probably wouldn't have done it if I was him. Or at least said, I'm sorry. Find a way to say, I'm sorry. Maybe there's legal implications to that. I don't know. But overall, big L for Travis Scott. YouTube disabled the dislike button just in time. They really did. I watched it at 680,000 views, and there were 30,000 likes. But obviously, you can't tell how many dislikes. How many dislikes do you think there were? I don't think this is a good look for him. I think it's a big L. So thanks for listening. Check out my first three Travis Scott shows if you want more. And until next time, stay woke.